Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You know our guest. He is the one and only Mike Wall. You can find him on social media at MikeWall68 and, of course, Process to Perform as well. We did our live show yesterday. If you haven't checked that out yet, make sure to do so. We've got so much more to get into today, though, so we're going to do it. But, Mike, before we get there, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me on. We had I got to go to Youngstown State this weekend, see my daughter play some soccer. Unfortunately, they lost last minute. They do golden goal in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they do golden goal, which is awesome, but everybody thought it was two 10-minute overtimes. So ball hits a crossbar, bounces off, somebody knocks it in. So, you know, everyone's like, okay, regroup, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the ref blows the whistle, and it's like, you know, just a fountain of tears for these poor girls.
Oh, no.
Just realized the game's over. It was terrible.
That is brutal. Well, hopefully she's doing all right. Yes. Hopefully it sounds like it was a fun and entertaining game, but I know that doesn't make it any better when you have a heartbreaking loss like that. We saw a heck of a World Series game on Saturday too. That thing was one of the great games of all time. Speaking of heartbreaking losses for Toronto in that situation. Before we jump in, because we've got a lot of Packers stuff to get into, of course, but that's all depressing stuff.
Yeah.
The Brewers lost to the Dodgers in four games, swept, clean sweep. You got annihilated in four games. The Blue Jays make it to the World Series and are multiple times this close to winning the World Series in game seven, two games at home. Would you rather lose in a four-game sweep in the NLCS or lose in heartbreaking fashion in the very last moment in the World Series?
Oh, I don't know what you're supposed to say here. I suppose you're supposed to say I'd rather lose at the very end because it gives you that means you were in it. But like, yep. I feel like you should just, you know, if you lose 4-0, you're like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, right? So maybe that doesn't hurt as bad. I mean, I can imagine the Toronto guys. I mean, there's not enough Molson Ice or whatever in the country to take over that problem. You know, God, that was a rough game.
That's a brutal loss. I think as a Brewers, it would have been awesome to get to the World Series, but I think I don't even know if I'm podcasting today. I think I'd still be wallowing upstairs, you know, in bed being like they were this close so many times to winning a World Series. That would have been brutal. But speaking of things that were brutal, Mike, we have a Packers game to discuss. A brutal in a very different way, a 3-point loss to Carolina at home after being 13.5-point favorites. And just for fun on top of it, a torn ACL for Tucker Kraft, which puts him out for the remainder of the season. We talked about it, obviously, on the live show, but we'll just start off, you know, kind of key takeaways and just kind of gut feel from this game.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft getting injured is the biggest, you know, obviously in a day full of bad things. That's the worst thing that could have possibly happened. I do think he is the linchpin of the offense. He feels like the personality on that offense that, and I think Josh Jacobs is that too. But as we talked about on the live show, Josh can't block and run at the same time. But Tucker Kraft with his yards after contact. With kind of the electricity and the spark that that everybody else is feeding off of, whether it's the play caller, whether it's the quarterback or just the people around him, like people are excited to be on the field with that guy right now. And for him to not be there anymore, I think it leaves a lot more questions than they have answers for, certainly coming out of that football game, Andy, both in the running game, but maybe most importantly as the outlet in the passing game for Jordan Love.
It's a cruel sport. You have one week where he makes his presence known on a national stage, has one of the best games of the season, certainly for the tight end position against Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Green Bay gets a big emotional win against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on the road. Everything's looking great. And then a week later, you lose by 3 to the Panthers at home. And the same guy that broke out a week ago is now done for the season. Things change in a blink of an eye. And just such a, you know, it's just a play like that where he's coming across and Sean Ryan gets, you know, cut underneath, and to avoid the block, he goes backwards, kicks upwards, and happens to hit Tucker Kraft and he tears his ACL. Just a crazy domino, like, you know, just, you know, dominoes falling down sort of situation, and just a brutal injury for Green Bay.
You just think it's going to be like a hyperextension at worst, and it turns out to be, you know, just the worst possible injury for him. Feel bad, obviously, for him and his family. Luckily, you know, I always just say this now, like, it's, we're so lucky. Like, when I was a kid, ACL meant you were done. And now it's, you know, I mean, it sucks, but, you know, he's certainly going to come back and have a stellar career, or continue along the path of having a stellar career that he's already had. But I guess if you wanted to say glasses half full, you know, this team is, we just talked about in the live show, Andy, like, this team is really struggling outside of our best players making great plays.
Yeah.
In other words, we're not very good in the run game from a consistency standpoint. We have too many dumb penalties, and it doesn't feel like, without explosive plays, you know, we're going to go down, you know, 5 yards at a time, because there's, you know, and this is the NFL, you're going to have a holding penalty, you're going to have an offside, you're going to have a sack, something, something, something. That's kind of what we saw yesterday. So the one thing that can happen now is that, whether it's Romeo Doubs and Matthew Golden, whether it's Josh Jacobs, and or a reevaluation of the run game, maybe it's, you know, adding a sixth offensive lineman, maybe it's changing up the offensive line, something that we talked about on the last show. Maybe there's something that sparks, like, hey, we have to evolve from here, because our number one kind of, I don't, you know, he's not your best player, but he's like the number one guy right now. The spark guy is not there. Who's going to be that guy? Who's the tough guy in the room? Who's the guy that's going to set the tone? Who's the guy that's going to try to finish his blocks? Who's the guy that's going to, you know, always fall forward downfield? Who's that guy who, you know, they have guys that have been that historically, Josh Jacobs, and certainly when given the opportunity, he will be that guy. But who in that receiving room, who in the offensive line room is going to just take over and go, you know what, enough of this. This is not the kind of team we want to be. A Super Bowl championship team has a personality of dominance. Who's going to establish it?
It's a great question. I hope they figure out a good answer to it. Mike, there's been times, I look back to the games that Jordan Love were out a season ago, where they basically reinvented a run offense for Malik Willis and Josh Jacobs, and they go and win two games back-to-back with what I thought was an extremely creative play design, play called, and executed game on a very short turnaround for a quarterback they had just acquired a couple weeks before that. You know, there were times when Jordan was first taking over that I thought some of the stuff that they were getting with open looks for players was phenomenal. And I thought, even going back to when Aaron was winning his back-to-back MVPs and sort of, you know, revitalizing his career might be harsh, but, like, again, playing at a super high level again, it felt like Matt was just a little bit of ahead of the opposing defense and the defensive coordinator. And right now, it just doesn't feel that way at all. It doesn't feel like they can find anything that gets going. It feels stagnant. It feels a little bit in lacking imagination at times. Maybe some of that's off base. Maybe that's just feel and not actual what's happening. But why has it just been so hard for this offense to either find an identity or get something going that works, or just, again, have maybe some of that creativity and ingenuity that we've seen from his teams in the past?
I think it's because Josh Jacobs isn't averaging over 5 yards a carry. I think that's why it is. I think it's just too hard to get yards in this league. And you've got light boxes sometimes. You've got arguably an offensive line that's not playing as well as it did last year, despite all the upgrades and the movement. And I think that's a huge deal. Josh Jacobs isn't having the year. You know, he's still an all-pro running back. We still see the talent. Like, it's not like he hasn't lost a step.
No.
The other thing that happens with this, Andy, it just happens. You remember the play yesterday where Jordan Love actually fakes the handoff and keeps the ball, runs out to the left, ends up sliding for no gain?
Yep.
Well, if he throws the football to Wilson coming around on the wheel, it's a touchdown. He just doesn't throw it. Now, I don't know why he doesn't throw it. I don't know if he's even allowed to throw it. Like, I don't know if that's part of the design. But the way they ran that, that's a touchdown. He didn't throw the football. So there's things that are happening. I mean, Romeo Doubs is open in the end zone on a bang eight, and Jordan Morgan gives up a pressure. No, excuse me, that wasn't Jordan Morton sack, but somebody else gave up a pressure in the middle. He had to roll it to right. He misses the bang eight. He's wide ass open. The play that was designed correctly, they're just not executing. So there's so many times in this league where you feel like you're getting these free yards. And I do think that we get a fair amount of free yards. But I also think that the way that we execute, whether it's the fumbled snap, the penalties, the sack, the pressures, whether it's just the lack of execution on the bubble screen, the drop in the, you know, dropping the screen pass, all this stuff accumulates. And it's not like the Carolina Panthers have heartbeats. You know, it's not like they're just a bunch of corpses walking around on the other, you know, lying around on the other side. They're going to play hard, and they played really, really hard. So if you show up to a game, you make a bunch of mistakes, and you don't play hard, you're going to lose football games in the National Football League. Like, this is a tough league, man. There's really not a team in this league right now, parity wise, where you're just like, hey, no matter what, we're winning the football game week in and week out, right? Like this is the parity that they're going for is. They're doing a good job of it at the current state. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League. You know, you talk about 10 years ago, you're talking about 8 good quarterbacks. There's 15, 16, 17 good quarterbacks now, right? Maybe more that you feel like can win you a football game at any moment. So I just think there's a lot going on in this league that you have to show up with your A game physically, mentally, emotionally, but you also have to be able to execute on some of this stuff. And I know I've spoken too long about this, but it does really start with like, if you're a team that has a Josh Jacobs, whether the fans like it or not, you're a running football team because he's an all pro and yeah. You're an idiot. If you know, you're stupid if you don't use him. It's like you have Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. You can throw the ball a bunch. You sure as hell better run the football. You got Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, same thing. You got Jonathan Taylor. If you got that talent, you run the football. That's it. And so you got to figure out a way to do that. And right now they just don't do that at a clip where it's consistent enough to design an offense around.
I do feel like as fans, we get main character syndrome and the only thing that matters to us is the Packers. And we forget that the other team sometimes is, you know, that they're on their own journey and trying to make their own way in the league and trying to win that game as well. And they're, you know, yeah, just we get blinders sometimes to some of that stuff. Does this team lack in patience? We've seen, you know, I thought against Arizona, they were maybe a little bit too aggressive trying to go down the field when they needed to take the underneath stuff. I thought they did a tremendous job against Pittsburgh, taking the underneath stuff and staying, you know, within the down and distance. And then in this game, it just felt like, again, the defense was set up to kind of give you some of the short stuff. Although I thought they did a good job of covering some of that stuff up too. But do they need a little bit more patience or is it maybe not that?
I thought the Panthers did a great job of, you know, for the most part of covering up the deep and really the deep drive stuff across the middle. Like I think they did a really good job on that. The difference in this game, my opinion, was early on the entire first half, they were rally tackling, whether it was the defensive end, the corner, the linebacker, you threw it to that flat or you threw the check down, like they were getting on it fast and they were making you like the whole Vic Fangio idea. Like we're going to make you go 80 every single time. They were trying to do that. And I think they showed the National Football League and they showed Packers and Packers fans like that's why that defense got so popular, because it's tough to drive 80 yards, 5 yards at a time. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have sacks. You're going to have pressures. You're going to have holding calls. Like you're going to have drop passes. Like those things happen. And when they do, and when they do in bunches like they did yesterday with the Packers, you start looking pretty incompetent, because if, you know, in the National Football League, explosive plays win games. And you start looking at like turnovers are super important. Explosive plays are super important. And if you're not winning both those battles, it's like, it's hard to win. And yeah. Unfortunately, I think we certainly lost the first one yesterday. And then, you know, I don't know what the count was as far as explosive plays or how we're going to define that. But aside from that deep ball from Christian Watson, I don't really feel like there was, you know, they didn't really take the top off the defense too often. So it's just a very, very tough way to play football. You know, I'm an option guy from the Naval Academy. Like I can do that all day long, but most offenses aren't designed to do that.
No, they are not. It does feel like they have to have a little bit of a better solution there. As far as long plays go, Dobbs had a long of 30, Musgrave had a long of 21 late in the game. Christian had a long of 52. Their long in the run game was 18. And as we heard yesterday, they haven't had a run of over 20 yards besides one by Jordan Love so far this year. So
that's a crazy stat, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, Josh Jacobs is on your team. Wilson's good. I mean, they got good backs. I wonder how many teams that's true for.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's many. Yeah. I'll have to maybe do some research there, but I can't imagine it's many teams that have that as a stat, to be honest. A lot of fans are frustrated with the amount of horizontal play calls within this offense. We saw a lot of the screens to the outside in the past. We didn't see it yesterday, and I don't think we saw it the week before either. We haven't seen the jet sweeps, the end arounds, the reverses in these last couple games, but it feels like Matt wants to continue to stretch the field horizontally. I'll let you answer in a second. My opinion is, as important as it is to keep safeties honest down the field with some vertical plays every now and again, you also want to keep defenses honest horizontally. But a lot of those plays have not been maybe working the way that ideally you would like them to. Is it too much? Is it an issue, or is it a non-factor for you? We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 10. We've got a huge one Monday night, Philly coming to Green Bay. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs in what hopes to be a bounce back win for Green Bay. Elsewhere in week 10, I'm going with big games from Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Quinshon Judkins. The best part, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter your play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code PACKADAY.
I don't think it's... Again, everything is based on, you know, what the defense has given you in execution. And so, you know, a lot of the complaints that you hear after the fact are like, you know, taking it, you know, there's context behind why, like, Matt LaFleur is a really good professional coach and he's doing things because he feels like the defense is going to give him opportunities in these areas. And whether you execute that or not, you know, you go to the game and I can point to a player or a block on damn near every play is the reason why something didn't work. It's not because the play was a poor play call. Having said that, you want to, like, let's just make this obvious. You want to, if you could throw the ball down the field, you know, just let it rip every single time, you would, but you can't because they have deep safeties, right? They'll play two safeties or whatever. You'd love to run the ball right down the A gap every time because this is a direct path, and that's what the Panthers did, and they did it actually quite effectively. But we're not very good at it, so we can't do it. But we also don't run crack toss plays anymore. We don't run a lot of the pin and pull stuff outside. We just don't run it. We used to run it, you know, years ago. We don't run it anymore. So we used to run it. Zach Tom's very good at it, right?
Very good at it.
But they just don't run that play anymore. So now they run this kind of like, you know, handoff, horizontal, middle to outside zone play that really is not very effective. We don't block it very well. And Matt LaFleur is going, all right, we still have to stretch the defense. How are we going to do that? Well, we can run the jet sweep with Golden. We can run the bubble screen. So to make sure those apex players are trying to play honest, like they can do all that stuff. But again, it's like, I know I keep going back to it, but I've been in these rooms. I've done the meetings. I've game planned. if you can't run the football downhill, you got a problem. And they don't have an answer for the most basic thing, which is like, how are we going to get Josh Jacobs 100 yards? Like, that is the most – they go into – I guarantee they go into every Monday meeting going, how are we going to get Josh Jacobs 100 yards this week? I guarantee that's how they start every damn meeting now. And they just – it's like, what do we want to do? And because they don't do some of the stuff they used to and they're not good at some of the other stuff anymore, it just becomes increasingly difficult to – you know, find the collection of plays, Andy, that makes sense, you know, without, if you don't win the game, if you don't score 35, you know, with this talent in Green Bay, with this fan group, yeah, everyone's going to be pissed off.
A lot of that going around on Monday morning, that's for sure. We talked about the loss of Tucker Kraft. It's a brutal run after the catch situation where you're losing one of your huge weapons, the linchpin, the guy who brings the intensity, the physicality, sets the tone, and also is a pretty solid run blocker and certainly better than Luke Musgrave, who's probably going to get the vast majority of his snaps at that spot, which further complicates your ability to try to get Josh Jacobs 100 yards rushing week in and week out. So I want you to put on your offensive play design and offensive coordinator hat. You've got no Jaden Reed right now. Dontavian Wicks is still a little bit banged up. We're not sure the situation with Matthew Golden. He left the game with a shoulder injury, and as we're recording this, we don't know the status of that. Tucker Kraft is now out for the year. You're struggling to run block. You've got a really great running back in Josh Jacobs. You've got no Marshawn Lloyd. Are you building this offense? What's your bread and butter? What's your go-to? How do you evolve this offense somehow with the loss of your linchpin on offense in Tucker Kraft?
Is Aaron Banks going to be healthy? I think that's a kind of an important question, right?
He'll start, but as far as how healthy he is, I cannot guarantee anything.
That's a great way to answer that. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I would probably bring in Belton and, you know, put him at tight end and have a package out of that we can start dealing a little bit more out of a heavy package, because I don't know how many teams are built for it just from a pound standpoint. Like, I don't know how many third linebackers can hold up against a guy that size. I think having a guy like Belton on the edge versus a defensive end or an outside linebacker is an incredible mismatch in the run game. I think it gives you extra pass protection that you're quite frankly already giving. Like, half the damn plays you're chipping guys out for on like long releases anyway. So it's not like you're losing that much from a pass standpoint. You're going to get that much more out of pass pro. And I just think that opens up opportunities to create single safety chances for Romeo Doubs, for Golden if he's healthy, obviously for these other guys, for Christian Watson. So I would love to get into a space. I guess I would put it this way, Andy. I want to get into a space where I want the safeties to be defined pre-snap. Now, I know that advanced quarterback play, a lot of times they're going to be able to define that pre-snap just by, you know, how if are they like this or like that, you know, so on and so forth. But I think we can really dictate safety play by bringing in extra offensive line, going to jumbo 12. And that allows us to use Luke Musgrave much more so as the pass option that he really is, and not, you know, having to do like, you know, put your foot hand in the ground dirty work. And I just think that gives you a very defined box that's going to give you a very defined front, and it allows you to make like adjustments where you're like, I don't really care what you do up front. You just don't have, if you go five down line, I'm throwing the ball to Christian Watson all day, Romeo Doubs all day. I feel really good about that. You know, I feel, because I still got two receivers in the game. I got a tight end, I got a jumbo tight end, I got two receivers, I got Josh Jacobs. I love that if not as your main offense, at least as something I'm going to run for like 2, 3, 4 plays in a row, as many series as possible.
I'm right there with you. And I want as much bulk on that line as possible. I'm probably going Sean Ryan over Jordan Morgan in that situation, and add Belton as the sixth offensive tackle. And just as many, there's not many people movers on that line, Mike, but as big as you can get, I'm a little bit for it. And again, I know big just doesn't solve it, but I want a little bit more physicality up front. I think Belton's a great answer to that. And I do think, you know, we've seen a lot of the success around the league with the six offensive line groups. I think it's a great way. And then to your point, having those two, you know, you're missing your kind of primary slot receiver right now in you know, Jaden Reed, and your other, you know, guy over the middle and Tucker Kraft that's so good. So can you get some of those one-on-ones on the outside with Doubs and Watson? And if so, like you said, you feel pretty good about those opportunities. And a lot of times when you go play action out of heavy, we see the quarterback just inherently get a little bit more time because everyone's playing the run first. And then again, you've got to fight through that extra offensive lineman, maybe a chip from Luke Musgrave, maybe a chip from the running back as well. And it maybe gives you some time to develop those plays down the field. And after showing hopefully that you can run the ball up until that point, makes them commit a little bit more. I'm with you. I think it makes a ton of sense.
It's worked for 30 years because people don't know how to match up against it. And it puts it, what that concept does is it allows the quarterback to know immediately, do I have a one-on-one outside or am I going to run the football? Because it's literally an either or. You can't bracket coverage without two safeties. So if you're going to go man over there, like if, and we've got guys that you feel good, like Romeo Doubs beats guys man. Now he might just beat him for an in or a slant or a glance. Maybe he's not meet him for a not, you know, maybe Christian Watch you put out there for like a go route or some of the deeper stuff, but you have both sides. And once you do that, once you define that, the game gets really easy. And that's, I know that's something that when, you know, when we were playing back in the day, when it got rough, we would just go, you know what? Like Sherman is like, screw this, man. Kevin, you're going in, put the bacon package in. We're going to run this. We're going to run one play. And as soon as you try to load up everybody over there, we're going to throw it deep to Corey Bradford. If you guys try to put two safeties up, we'll just go backside and run the stutter. I mean, it's such a simple answer, but it, you know, the other thing it does is it forces the defense to game plan something new and practice something new that just takes away from practice time from everything else. So, you know, I don't know, given the amount of, you know, now we're thinking, we're just talking about it, like given the size that they have on the bench in the offensive line room right now, it's kind of wild they haven't done it yet, isn't it?
Yes, I would totally agree. At the beginning of the year with all the injuries they had, I could maybe understand it a little bit more. These past couple of weeks, I was a little bit surprised we haven't seen some version of it. We did see, I want to say, 2 to 3 plays last year of Jumbo where we saw an extra lineman come in. It's not in their playbook. We've seen them run it. Usually it was more in like goal line sort of situations, but it is in their playbook. At least it was last year. I don't think we've seen a snap of it so far this year.
It's time, baby.
It is time. I want to jump over to defense. We spent a lot of time on offense. I'll be honest. Like normally I'm the one that's kind of defending of like, hey, they allowed 16 points. Not on the defense in this one. You're going to win in the NFL. I look at this one, 16 points allowed. I kind of expected Carolina to have like 8 minutes on time of possession. Green Bay actually won it barely. It was like basically a split 50-50 time of possession. They generated a turnover with the interception for Xavier McKinney. Bryce Young started 4 for 4 for 36 yards. They got no points out of it. After that, went 7 of 16 for 66 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. And Green Bay lost. Yeah. Now the Panthers ran the ball really well, 33 for 163, basically a 5-yard average and 2 touchdowns. But the big thing is for Green Bay's defense, twofold for me is number one was the run defense. Number two, when it came to negative plays or explosive plays, or again, however we want to define it, one sack, which was the forced fumble, which was, which actually turned into a positive play, which because they recovered it and went forward. So that's actually not a negative play at the end result of it, but it's sack, I guess. One tackle for loss by Micah Parsons, one interception by Xavier McKinney, and that was it. No other pass breakups, no other tackles behind the line of scrimmage, no other sacks, no other picks, no other anything. And when they needed a stop at the end of the game, they couldn't quite get the stop, and they went down and drove to get the game-winning field goal.
Huge run at the end of the game, too.
Like, huge run at the end of the
unbelievable.
Game.
Unbelievable. Don't fill the gap right, but yeah.
Yes. Crazy. So on the one hand, stopped the passing attack, got a turnover, only allowed 16 points. Maybe not the worst thing in the world, right? On the other hand, there's some signs here, run defense, lack of big plays, couldn't get the stop at the end, or I'm like, ugh. So how do you look at the defensive performance in this game? We'll be right back. Hey friends, we've all gone through difficult times, whether it be with addiction, heartbreak, financial troubles, or hundreds of other challenging situations that get presented to us on a day-to-day basis. I know I certainly have, and if you have, just know you're not alone. And the thing is, taking care of your mental health shouldn't be harder than taking care of your physical health. If you pull a muscle, you go see a doctor. But when it comes to finding the right therapist, suddenly it's frustrating. You've got long wait lists or you're staring down huge out-of-pocket costs. That's what usually stops people from getting help. That's where Rula comes in. Rula makes therapy simple, affordable, and fast. They work with most major insurance plans, and the average session copay is just $15. Just 15 bucks. Now, every therapist on the platform is licensed, vetted, and picked for their expertise, so you know you're going to talk to somebody legit, not just whoever happens to be available. And getting started could not be easier. You answer a few quick questions about what matters to you, and Rula connects you with in-network providers who actually fit your needs. You pick the time, and you could be talking to a therapist and as soon as the next day. I can't stress enough how much therapy has been a blessing in my life, and it can be in yours as well. And Rula gives you that opportunity without having to break the bank. Now, thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they've needed, so don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Packaday and get started today. That's Rula.com/Packaday. Take the first step, get connected, and take control of your mental health.
I think you do have to acknowledge that 16 points isn't very many. You should, like John Fox, when I was with Carolina, is like, if they don't score 19, if you score 19, we will win every game.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's like, yeah, we will never give up more than 19 points. We'll never get more than 18 points, excuse me. You know, so like if you score, that is a winning round of football, right? Yeah. The no sacks thing was, I think, a function of one, he gets rid of the ball fast. They're not going to put him in a position where he has to drop back too much and he's on his own. But, like, to be fair, they had chances to win and they didn't win. And Josh Nyman's over there playing against Rashawn Gary and he's not sacking on Josh Nyman. I'm going, like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
That was, you would have thought, right? I mean, you would have thought.
Common sense, yeah.
Here's the other thing that bothered me, and it goes to your tackles for loss deal. The Carolina Panthers are three deep on the front of the offensive line. They're missing three starters, I think maybe four by the end of the game. And they're swapping out guards. I mean, it's romper room over there. And because they've been coached to just stay square to the line of scrimmage, just cover a guy up. They're not even moving guys. They're just not letting them go. They're getting engaged, staying right there. And this new Rico Dowdle kid is, you know, jumping back and forth, looking like Le'Veon Bell, hesitating in the line of scrimmage, you know, banging through a hole for five, banging a hole for nine, all of a sudden gets a 20-yard gain, breaking through some tackles. And it's such a simple concept, but nope, like our offensive line and that room has not grasped that yet. You know, and This is kind of the next like standard of success. If you want to run for 130 yards for running 160 yards total, just get in front of your guy and don't take an angle. Stay on your track the entire time. Give the running back an opportunity to make plays. Don't create the lane for him. I thought they did a really good job of that. I think coming into the game, they showed even in their last game, they were phenomenal in the interior offensive line of just sticking to their blocks and be able to run their feet. Keeping pressure on that person so they can't fall off and make plays. They really did a nice job of that yesterday against our guys in the interior. We don't have the biggest, baddest group of defensive tackles on the planet, and it kind of showed up a little bit yesterday in the run game, although, again, I don't want to, like, beat these guys up. They played pretty well. I just think it's never going to be good enough, right, with this defense. Once you set these expectations of that Detroit game and then, you know, the Washington game, this team is always going to be chasing the expectations of those first couple weeks.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, like I think you talked about it on the last show, the energy, everything, it's just not there. And I think it permeates through the entire team.
Yeah, I think so too. They got to find a way to get that spark back. All right, a couple quick ones before we get you out of here. A lot of frustration with Matt LaFleur on Sunday and Monday. What does Matt need to do better? Is there anything that he needs to change? Is there anything that the Packers need to change for him? Does he need to give up play calling? Where are you at with Matt and what he can do differently?
Yeah, I think the hard thing is we talked about this the last time. If they go out in the second half and they have a bunch of success, then, you know, you just kind of go, it's, you know, okay, this is kind of what they do. This is their, and while I don't think that players, I would never like to say that like players play like their coaches, I do think that there's something, there is something to that. The way that you prepare, the way that you, what you prioritize, whether it's how you show up, you know, like I said, you know, I made an offhand on comment on here. It's like, I don't like how much he cares about his facial hair, or like, you know, I don't care how much, you know, like how it bothers me. He's so well groomed all the time. Like, what are we prioritizing? Right. Like my coaches used to sleep in cots for like 2 hours a night and they look like they're always disheveled. This guy looks like he came out of a, you know, goddamn makeup salon ready to go to the show every day. He's just a handsome dude. So you do, wonder about the level of kind of detailed preparation, how hard the, you know, watching the Carolina Panthers, how hard they played versus how hard we played. You do start, and this isn't the first time, but this is one of those games where it's fair to go like, are we doing things the right way to prepare for football games? As far as the play calling goes, Andy, I think the group, we talked about it last show, I think the group is responsible for putting together a game plan. I think their game plan more often than not is really good. I think this is a very, very, you know, I think this is a extremely well thought out and well put together game plan. The plays that are on that play sheet are excellent for the most part, and there's a lot of them. And he puts players in positions to be successful. When you lose a Tucker Kraft, when you use a read, when you all of a sudden are having problems running the football, that play sheet looks blurry. Some of these plays don't go as planned. You know, you get Musgrave out in the flat. He gets tackled right. Like, do you remember when Musgrave got – he checked out. He got the flat route on the left in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Everybody on the in the stadium – I'm not trying to shit on the guy, right? Everybody in the stadium knew he was getting tackled before the first down. It was one-on-one. Everybody in the stadium knew he was going to get tackled. Everybody in the stadium knew Tom Kraft wasn't going to get tackled. And all of a sudden, that's a different play, isn't it? All of a sudden, that was a great job. And that's sometimes the difference in these situations. It's like, how fast can you adjust for your, you know, your best yards after catch guy, you know, bust his ACL? How fast do you adjust from that? How fast do you adjust? I guess the real question with the Matt LaFleur thing is like, how fast we can adjust to the fact that they haven't gone six offensive linemen, but we can't get our, you know, top five running back in the National Football League 100 yards on a consistent basis. Like, when are we going to figure that one out? I think that would be the biggest question for me as far as play calling responsibilities.
You and me both. That to me is still, as we've talked about, 1A on my list of issues for this team. Kicker issue, kicker controversy, or stick with McManus?
Yeah, that's tough. Are they? Is there a suggestion that he's maybe still with injured, or are people saying that to get him off the field?
Yeah, he practiced in full both Thursday and Friday and kicked in back-to-back weeks. And it's, you know, Matt certainly didn't make the excuse of like, you know, he did say he's going through his own thing or whatever. I don't know if that was like mentally just not making field goals or like physically there's an issue there, but he did practice in full the last 2 days of the week. And, you know, physically he didn't look like there was an ailment or an issue. I mean, the two that he's missed the last couple of weeks, it's not, I mean, the one you can maybe say like, well, the 57 yarder, you know, the injury played a factor. Like the other ones have been like less than mid 40 yarders. And you know, I don't think it played a major, but again, I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough. If there's any, listen with the kicker, because it's such an important position. If there's any suggestion that like, he's not 100%, you've got a guy that's making kicks, let the other guy kick. That's my opinion.
I'm right there with you. Packers, Eagles, quick thoughts on that one. What you're looking forward to? Packers 2.5 point favorites, Mike, you know, cause Vegas always gets it right when the Packers are 13.5 point favorites. So hopefully it goes better when they're 2.5 point favorites.
Yeah. This will be a really good, and this is kind of what you expect. This is a really good test for the Green Bay Packers. They didn't have an answer for Bryce Young in Bryce Young running the football. They did not have an answer. And now you got Jalen Hurts coming in, and I know he doesn't run the football as much as he used to, but I remember a Monday night game a couple of years ago where he ran a lot against us. Yep. So I think that's something to watch. How they're going to deal with that is always the question. The Eagles seem to be figuring some things out last week. You know, obviously I think they're on a bye this week, so that'll give them some time to prepare. But remember, the Eagles are kind of going through it too. They got their own little locker room drama. Who's going to get the football? How much they getting it? Are they doing this? You know, how good their offensive line's playing? Is their RPO? Cam Jurgens is out. Their center's not playing as well. I mean, they've got some stuff going on up there too. I think the bye week will probably help them a lot, unfortunately. And I think they're a top five team. So, you know, the Packers want to be a top five team. This is one of those games they got to win.
you know, Ric Flair, you got to, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. This will be a good opportunity for them to do that this week. Philly, as we're recording this, has already made three trades before the deadline. Michael Carter at corner, Jaire Alexander at corner, and then Jalen Phillips, the defensive end.
I saw that Jalen Phillips. He's a good player now. He's on a bad team down in Miami, but he's a good player. He's been injured a lot, but he's good when he's healthy. Good player.
Yeah. So they've added three players already and, you know, sort of stocking up for that stretch run. And we'll see if it makes an impact against Green Bay. Mike, I cannot thank you enough. You're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your amazing work and anything else you want to talk about on the way out?
Andy, you can find me at Process to Perform on YouTube. Certainly you're going to be on the Pack a Day podcast channel as well. Thanks again for hosting me on your platform. These are fun times and I certainly enjoy talking ball with you. So we'll keep it up.
Right back at you, my friend. Hopefully next week we have a lot more fun stuff to talk about. No injuries and a big win against Philly would be ideal. Follow him at MikeWall68. Go do it. He's the best. You're going to want to follow him on all social media platforms. Also, again, me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.